SBS Audio is supported by advertising.
Need a few minutes to reset? Great Minds is a podcast from SBS that guides you through different meditation styles from around the world. Listen wherever you get your podcasts.
You're listening to SBS News.
Kourakas become Jorkas. The Trilateral Security Partnership, announced in September 2021, is an arrangement between Australia, the UK and the US to develop Australia's nuclear submarine forces, with the goal of improving stability and security in the Indo-Pacific. Now, those founding members say they're considering working with Japan as a technological partner. Prime Minister Anthony Albanese says there are a number of reasons why such a collaboration makes sense.
We're engaging in our defence relationship with Japan across the board extensively. We have upgraded that defence relationship, and it's a natural thing for us to look at Pillar 2 to cooperate. Japan, of course, is a quad partner along with the United States and India, and we see this as a natural evolution that's occurring.
The plan to replace Australia's current fleet of diesel-electric submarines in the 2030s with nuclear-powered submarines is what's being called Pillar 1 of AUKUS. Pillar 2 outlines a plan to share advanced technologies such as hypersonic missiles, undersea drones and electronic warfare. It's this Pillar 2 that Mr. Albanese says AUKUS members are open to seeing more like-minded nations contribute to.
Let's be very clear, there is no plan to expand AUKUS beyond the three countries. When it comes to Pillar 2, Japan has a very sophisticated, not just defence force, but is known for its technological advancement. And if there can be gains that are in the interests of the three AUKUS partners, but in addition, any partners outside the direct AUKUS relationship, then that will be considered.
No formal invitation has been accepted at this stage, but US officials have indicated in public remarks that an arrangement is close to being finalised. A formal announcement could come during Japanese Prime Minister Fumio Kishida's week-long official visit to the United States, including a summit with President Joe Biden and later the first-ever summit of the US, Japanese and Philippine leaders. China's influence in the Indo-Pacific, including its actions in the South China Sea, a part of the backdrop of discussions on regional security. China's foreign ministry spokesperson Mao Ning says any involvement of Japan with AUKUS is strongly opposed by China.
The countries concerned should effectively fulfil their international obligations and refrain from any action that undermines regional and world peace and stability. Owing to its recent history of militaristic aggression, Japan's military security trends have always been of great concern to its Asian neighbouring countries and the international community. The Japanese side should effectively reflect on its history of aggression, abandon the practice of engaging in a military security partnership, and truly follow the path of peaceful development.
East Asia scholar Professor Derek McDougall at the University of Melbourne says Japan's policy on pacifism, enshrined in the country's constitution, won't be a barrier from Japan contributing to AUKUS.
Defence forces in Japan are called self-defence forces, but there are restrictions on using those forces. So you could have technological cooperation without Japan necessarily expanding its defence role in terms of that arrangement being a form of soft balancing against China.
Japan is not a part of the Five Eyes Intelligence Alliance, which includes Australia, Canada, New Zealand, the UK and the US. John Blaxland is a professor of international security and intelligence studies at the Australian National University. He says there are barriers that would need to be overcome if Japan were to get involved with Pillar 2 of AUKUS.
And it has some issues in terms of its own security precautions that have a bit of a reputation over the last couple of decades of being a little bit lax. Now, they have put in place new legislation just very, very recently to tighten up those procedures, but we have yet to see that implemented, and we've yet to see that kind of have the knock-on effect of that in terms of just how robust Japanese security measures may prove to be. In Australia, I've written about this. We've been subject to leaks as well of espionage and of information selling and giving away information to people that are not entitled to have it. But we have made some significant modifications and refinements to our procedures along the way. And I think there's a sense that Japan probably has a bit of catch up to do on that front.
New Zealand, Canada and South Korea have also been named as potential partners and collaborators for AUKUS. Dr. Ruben Steff is an international relations and global security academic at New Zealand's University of Waikato. He says there's growing interest among New Zealand's government officials in contributing to AUKUS Pillar 2. The country's 1987 ban on nuclear weapons and propulsion precludes it from considering Pillar 1.
They have more interest now than ever. I mean, it surprised quite a lot of us last year when the Chris Hipkins government showed interest, because historically, Labor has been a little bit more hesitant about getting too close to our traditional partners, really Australia and the United States. With this government, though, they've continued the trend that Chris Hipkins established, where last year New Zealand was saying we were interested in exploring opportunities when it came to AUKUS. This government has taken it further. If you look at the statements, activities of our new Minister of Defence, Judith Collins, and you look at what Winston Peters, our Minister of Foreign Affairs, are saying, they seem to be showing a lot of openness to AUKUS Pillar 2, the expansion of China's military power in the region and its interest in gaining potentially a security foothold in the South Pacific. It's also just technology itself. We have a small economy. We require foreign technologies to make sure things here tick over neatly. It's also monetary. It's investments.
Dr. Ewan Graham is a senior analyst with the Australian Strategic Policy Institute. He says there could be a downside to having too many nations in AUKUS.
I think weighing against that is the basic arithmetic of if you open up a small focus partnership to broader participation, there's always going to be a penalty that you pay in terms of process and just the general unwieldiness of having to deal with more than three parties will inevitably slow it down. So I think the question needs to be thrown back. What does New Zealand and Canada have to offer? It's really for them to present a value proposition that's of interest to the AUKUS partners, and to do so in a way that doesn't appear to jeopardise the focus on Pillar 1. From an Australian perspective, that's still the bottom line. That's why AUKUS originated. It was Australia's concern and increasingly urgent desire to acquire a higher level of submarine capability. And the longer that gets delayed, the more angst there will be in Canberra.
Biwa Kwan, SBS News.
Why do people want to be at work? To feel heard, appreciated, part of something, and to know there's a career path for everyone. Inclusive workplaces are linked to increased innovation, productivity, and employee satisfaction. Make your organisation a place where people want to be. For inclusion and diversity training, visit inclusion-program.com.au.